Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk about the 49ers' 15-14 win over the Bears in Chicago. We'll hear from new quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and head coach Kyle Shanahan. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
You know, it was fun to watch, you know, first time on the plane, watching a couple times today. I think, you know, seeing out there live, you can tell he made some impressive throws. You know, there's definitely situations, you know, that he got a little confused in and still was able to make plays, which, you know, the more he plays and the more he's around us, knowing the scheme and reps, so have less of those. But I think it was still very impressive to the situation he was in for him to still be able to keep his poise and still able to make some plays when things weren't perfect.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, and he summed it up really well there, Steve. A lot of poise for Jimmy Garoppolo in his first start with the San Francisco 49ers. Gets a win. They didn't score a touchdown, but it didn't matter. They won, and they had the game-winning drive there at the end. What did you think of his overall performance?
I mean, he was a difference maker, I thought. I think Kyle said it really well. Even in situations where it looked like he was confused, he made a play. Or he kept it from being a negative. He was decisive, and he let it rip. And I think that he made, honestly, I think he made the receivers better.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he made them better. So, nothing bad on CJ, but he made a difference.
He did. You know what? An amazing stat that I saw was how he targeted Goodwin and Taylor 14 times, and he completed all 14. So those two guys really benefited, from Garoppolo. Yeah. It just seemed like they would turn around, and the ball was there.
The ball was there. Now, balls weren't perfect, but that's okay. But they were within. They were within the arm circle, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, two hands together and circling them around your body. He was in that circle. So that's that's good enough. I just think he was. I love that he was decisive. I think he knew where he wanted to go. He knew what he was looking at, and he sure can spin it. That part I do know now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the arm definitely jumps out at you. But the other things that jump out at me, and I'm sure you enjoy watching it too, is just the footwork that he has and the quick release and all these things that you really need to be a successful quarterback.
Absolutely. Footwork was very good. He climbed in the pocket, I thought, and nicely worked around it well. And again, the ball was where it needed to be, when it needed to be. You know, I often told guys when I was coaching them or working with them that, you know, trust your eyes to find the open guy. Trust your feet to get it there on time.
Right. And he was getting his passes there on time. You know, to me, the most impressive play, I don't know if you remember this play, but there was a play late in the third quarter. It was 3rd and 8. And the Bears sent somebody blitzing. And here comes this guy completely unblocked. I don't remember who it was, but he's unblocked. And Garoppolo just calmly stands in there and fires a strike to Taylor. That was that 20-yard gain for first down, and he kind of sidearmed it a little bit because that's how he had to do it. He had to use a different arm angle. I mean, to me, that was just so impressive.
It was, and as you're saying that, there were a couple throws where he was in trouble, backpedaling, people on him, and he threw it, and I was like, ugh! But he threw it soon enough, and he got it through the window, you know, of the, you know, two converging linebackers. And actually, I think that one might have been to Taylor as well, now that I think about it. But he was impressive. You know, like I said, he was the difference, I thought.
There was another one where he threw into triple coverage, and I want to hear.
That's the one.
I want to hear your thoughts on that.
That's the one.
And Murphy made that catch.
Oh, it was Murphy. Okay, that's the one I'm referring to. I was like,
let's listen to what.
Here, through there.
Here's what Garoppolo actually described it. So let's listen to what he had to say about that throw into really triple coverage.
I actually didn't see him catch it. I got hit after that one. So, you know, I knew his route. I knew what his depth was and everything. And the linebacker had no vision on me. So I knew he wasn't going to make a play on the ball. And I just had to keep it away from the safety and the other linebacker coming over. So I kept it low. Murph made a tremendous catch, I heard. I'll see on film. But, I mean, that's the trust part you have with teammates. And I'm starting to learn that with certain guys, you know, and hopefully it keeps growing with everybody. So I think that's part of becoming a team and just especially in offense. Trusting the O-line trusting you, you trusting the receivers and everything. It all plays a hand in each other.
And that's where that takes time to come together, but, you know, it's happening pretty quickly for Jimmy. I mean, and you can relate to that, just the trust factor when you're making your first start like that.
That's where it all starts, man. The sooner you can have that, the better you're going to be. You know, that's what it was all built on. You know, with Bill, and just that, hey, you don't have to like the guy next to you, but you have to respect him and you have to trust him.
Right.
You know, you don't have to hang out with him after the game. That's okay.
Right.
But you have to have a common goal. You have to respect him and you have to trust him that he's going to do his job and you're going to do yours. And he trusts that you're going to do yours. So, I mean, it was great. His answer was great. I mean, you know, on television, you can't tell that that linebacker doesn't have vision on him. And, you know, you just can see him. You can kind of, it's obviously easier to sit on the couch and watch it than do it. But, you know, but hey, he got it in there. He knew what he was doing. That's why it's him and not us.
Well, you know, I wondered about his relationship with Murphy, who, by the way, has kind of come on the scene here in a hurry and been doing well because he caught that touchdown from Garoppolo last week. But I wondered about sort of the up and down nature of it because Murphy was the guy who had that catch over the middle that looked like just, you know, okay, that's going to be a catch. And Kyle Fuller, who, by the way, had a really good game for the Bears, he ripped it right out of his hands.
Out.
And that's an interception, which actually, you know, statistically, I don't know that maybe you should call that a fumble. I mean, that's an interception. It's so unfair for Garoppolo. But, you know, I wondered, is he going to trust him again because he had a ball ripped right out of his hands? And, of course, he did because he made that catch on the triple coverage.
Yeah. No, and that catch was a good catch. It was more the momentum and the direction of the momentum that he was able to get that ball out. In my observation, that's just kind of dumb luck, you know. The way the bodies were going, the inertia of the bodies, and the you know how the ball was being held. Unfortunately, that happens. And his butt was maybe 2 inches from being down, you know?
Yeah, he was almost down.
I mean, if his butt's down, it's a fumble, technically. Or maybe it's even still a completion. Who knows? That was unfortunate. But it was still a good catch.
Yeah, that was a good catch.
Murphy.
And he was Garoppolo was able to find other receivers. He used the tight ends a little bit, a couple of throws to Celek. You know,
a couple nice seam, you know, down the middle seam routes to Celek.
Yeah.
One specifically I can remember.
And Taylor had a big game. We talked about that one catch. And Goodwin, ran some routes where, again, it just seemed like he would turn around and the ball was right there for him.
Ball was there. Yeah, I would agree. He definitely made Goodwin look better.
How about this, the last drive, too, to get that field goal to win the game? They started at their own 8. So the way things have been going this year, this was pretty improbable that they would drive down the field 14 plays, 86 yards, and get the field goal right at the end there. And, you know, they worked the clock perfectly, too.
They did. It was a really good drive. I mean, there were, you know, a little help in there with there was a personal foul and the hit on him, on Garoppolo. Was there a second personal foul in there?
I think there was another penalty in there, yeah.
There was another penalty for sure. I don't remember if it was a personal foul or not, or if it was a 15-yard penalty, but there definitely was another penalty. But, hey, they made things happen, and those are, those are the breaks. Those are the things that that you're rewarded with when you execute.
Well, think about this. On that final drive, Garoppolo was 5 of 6, 54 yards, 3 third downs converted, and he had that 33-yarder to Trent Taylor on 3rd and 9 before they got to the 2-minute warning. So, I mean, it's just like total clutch play. And you could say they didn't score a touchdown all day. That would be the criticism that you would give the 49ers. But when they needed to drive down the field and convert third downs,
they did.
10 third downs converted out of 18. That's something they've been lacking.
Looking it up, but that's what I forgot to look it up before. So 10 for 18 on third down.
Yeah, and they've been lacking that all year.
And even that they had to convert 18 third downs is also impressive. They have not had that many this year. You know what I mean?
They haven't gotten to
18. They've been around, I think maybe 15 or 16 was the most they've had.
So to convert 10 of them, which by the way is the most they've had conversions wise since 2007. So I mean that's a long time, you know, between converting 10 of them the way they did.
Yeah, and that shows in the time of possession. The other thing that I think they didn't necessarily do it well, but what was good was that they continued to try and run the ball. They didn't have a high average. They didn't rush for necessarily a lot of yards. But they stayed at it, and it paid in the end because then Carlos had a 25-yard run there at some point late.
Yeah, good burst. I think it was 18 is what I have here. Yeah, 18.
Okay, 18. Okay.
Good burst,
But the thing was that they stayed with it. They didn't necessarily do it well average-wise, but that they stuck with that, and it helped shorten the game, helped with the time of possession.
Yeah, and that was
key. And I think
that's
something they need to continue to do going forward.
That was real key. I mean, they had the ball for 38-47 to 21-13 for the Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears only had 8 first downs in this game, so the defense really played well also.
Exactly. And that you know, the running the ball part keeps your defense off the field, keeps them fresh.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park, in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. By the way, Garoppolo had the most passing yards by a Niners quarterback in his first start in franchise history.
Really?
Franchise history, yeah, in his first start.
Wow.
And then he had 293 is what he had.
Wow.
That's a pretty interesting stat right there.
That is, yeah. Yeah, because there have been some pretty good ones that have had first starts.
Right, exactly. So I'll give him credit for that. But getting back to the defense, you know, holding them to 8 first downs – 147 total yards. That's all the Bears had in this game.
Yeah.
And Reuben Foster was really good. He had, I think it was 10 tackles. It was 7 tackles. But one of them was that great. Remember that tackle he made where he made that diving effort and he was able to trip up the quarterback, Trubisky, and he didn't get the first down?
He played well. I mean, defense in general played well. The young group of defensive linemen, you know, substituting them in and out, keeping them as fresh as possible, especially this time of the year, is going to help. I think some of the young guys pressed into action in the secondary have played pretty well, or did for sure on Sunday, played pretty well. And guys that haven't really played much.
Right.
You know, Eric Reed had a few nice plays, coming downhill on tackles and a couple passes defended, if I remember correctly.
He did. Yeah.
Defensively they played well. And again, they only had to be on the field for 21 minutes. So.
Well, I thought it was impressive, too, because the Bears, I mean, they can be explosive at times. Howard's a pretty good running back. And Cohen, I mean, if you get him the ball in open space, oh, my gosh.
Dude, how fun was that to watch?
Oh, and that return, that was one of the most exciting plays of the year, really, for any NFL player, right?
Yeah.
61 yards, but he went 125 overall.
the punt return was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. But then you watch him. Then you watch them run with the ball, you know. Then you see them throwing them the ball, but then the desperation kickoff return when he goes up the left side and turns back and tries to throw the ball across the field.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Granted, it was a forward pass. Right. Dude, he spun that out there about 40 yards.
he's a very talented guy. That punt return reminded me of Billy White Shoes Johnson, if you remember that guy from when we were kids. I mean, and I used to love, you remember he used to do that dance? Yeah. That was before the celebrating really got crazy. But he had that dance. But he used to do that where he'd go backwards and all over the place, and the next thing you knew, he had a touchdown.
That was a heck of a run. Wow. I mean, you don't want it to be against your team, but it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. You know, I think Trubisky's going to be pretty good, but it seems like he's just not ready to throw the ball a lot, or at least they didn't want to do that. What did you think of him?
I think he looks good. Yeah. I think the only other time I've really watched him play was last year in the bowl game. I forget what game they played in, against Stanford. And he looked then like he had a good arm. I thought he threw the ball well. He's a rookie. I mean, there's a steep curve ahead of him, but they'll be better for it next year with him having this experience. But he runs well. He's a big, strong kid. It looks like he moves around well in the pocket. He's definitely going to be a good one.
You know, he might have had another chance there. Do you think the Bears should have let the 49ers score a touchdown near the end of the game?
I heard them talking about that. There was some.
I think James Lofton mentioned it, the analyst on the CBS telecast.
Lofton mentioned, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Would you have done that?
It was a good thought. I mean, I don't remember exactly the. Let's see. So they ended up winning 31-28. No, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. That's,
15-14. Yeah.
No, they won 15-14. So it was 14.
It was 14-12. So it could have been 19-14. You give Trubisky a chance to drive down the field and win it with not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you had let them score right away when they ran the ball, just open up the sea there, just let them go into the end zone. I don't know. It's kind of a tough call.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how many timeouts Chicago had at that point, too, where, say, after the two-minute warning, I don't remember if Chicago had timeouts left or not.
Yeah, they were calling them there at the end. They might have had one or two timeouts.
Yeah.
They could have done that. I mean, unless they really think that Gold is going to miss a field goal, but I mean, he was money. Five field goals against his former team.
I do remember James Lofton talking about it. There was another game, though, that I thought that maybe they should let them score.
That happened in the Super Bowl once, too. There was a Super Bowl where you could have let the guy score.
It was my decision. I've told you that story.
Well, what happened there?
Green. So I was with the Packers in 97, and we were playing Denver. And Denver had the ball like first and goal at the 3 yard line.
Okay.
2 or 3 yard line going in. And I think there was maybe a little bit more than let's say 2 minutes. It was around there. We were losing, I think this is correct, 24-23. And they had been running the ball all over. Davis was running the ball all over us, had been all day. And so they ran, it had to be a 2 minute warning. So on say first down, maybe it was second down, didn't matter. They ran the ball and we stopped them, like smashed them at the two. And I went screaming down the sideline at Holmgren. Like, let them score, let them score, let them score. What are we doing? Let's just get the ball back. We got a chance to win.
Right.
Well, we got a chance to tie it.
Okay.
And so if you ever went back and watched, if you ever see the replay, so the next play, they run the same play, and Gilbert Brown, who's a nose tackle, he smashes the center, and then he steps out of the way and lets Davis
Ole,
go in.
Right.
Ole, he goes in. So they score, they kick the extra point, and they're up to either 31-24 or 31-23.
Well, you still have a chance to come back, right?
I think it's 31-23. So we get the ball back. I mean, we've got, I think we had one timeout. Anyway, we get the ball back. We start driving. We start moving. Then we got into a fourth, and I think they had been blitzing us all day. We got into a fourth and like 10, fourth and 12, and they brought the house, and Brett tried to go to the outside, and if he would have, hindsight, if he sees Tremura's running down the middle of the field wide open.
Ah, so he didn't see him.
No, and he didn't see him. But
still, you had a chance to win.
It gave us a chance. Because
right.
If we, stymie them for three downs and then kick the field goal on fourth down, okay, so then we're down, whatever it was. Okay, we're down 27-21, it's not going to happen. We're not going to have enough time.
Right, because you can use the clock to your advantage. I mean, yeah, that's...
And Holmgren was... I was ultimately criticized. Holmgren was... He was criticized for having...
Allowing the touchdown?
With me and allowing it to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
But then there would be no time if you didn't do it. At least you had time to try to come back.
He still likes to teach me about it. Like, why did I listen to you?
I think it was a smart move.
I was right.
Yeah.
I was right.
I mean, I think the Bears should have done it there. I think they should have let the 49ers score, give Trubisky a chance to come back. Because at that point, it's 19-14. He could have driven down the field for a game-winning touchdown. So.
Yeah. I mean, there was another game this weekend that ended up 31-28. I forget who it was. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, shoot, just they're moving, just let them score so he can get the ball back.
Right.
And in that situation, it was get the ball back and kick a field goal and tie it up. But it didn't happen. So...
Well,
anyway.
The 49ers get this win, at least. I mean,
it's a win. Hey, a win is a win, and a win on the road is even better.
And it feels so much different now with Garoppolo. I mean, I don't want to overrate this because, again, they didn't score a touchdown, but it just feels different. This guy seems like he's got a very high ceiling. And I don't want to overrate it. Some people, I guess, are saying pump the brakes on it. I can't feel that way because when I watched him, I couldn't help but get really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a glimmer of hope for all fans, for all of us.
Right.
I mean, to me, right in that game, he was the difference. Maybe they may have won with CJ in there. I mean, not because he hasn't played bad, but there was a difference. Balls were closer to perfect and delivered more on time.
And people are making the comparison to Tony Romo. They went to the same college. Do you see that a little bit? Sort of the same skill set.
Yeah, I can kind of see that a little bit. Yeah, I can see that a little bit. I mean, hey, that's not a bad comparison.
Yeah, not a bad comparison at all. So now it's on to Houston, and it might look like maybe you could win two in a row because they're 4-8. But I got to tell you, I just covered their game. They lost to the Titans, but Savage, even though he was a turnover machine earlier this year, Tom Savage, he throws the ball pretty well. And I'll tell you, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the most exciting receivers in the NFL. That guy can catch everything and make moves. And, 49ers fans will see that coming up in Houston this Sunday.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, again, you got to go on the road. It's just harder, but they continue to show development and are learning what it takes to win. They've got a better chance.
And they got three tough games after that too. They got Tennessee,
yeah.
Jacksonville, two teams that are fighting atop their division.
The AFC South, the AFC South. We got the AFC South going here for the next 4 weeks.
Right, next three.
Or whatever it is.
Three, and then they play the Rams to finish up the season. 49ers do. Yeah, the Rams have been great this year. So, could be tough to get another win, but it's more promising, I'd have to say.
No question. And then we're all a little more hopeful.
All right, Steve. Well, that was fun watching that game, talking about it, and we'll talk about the game in Houston next week.
Much more fun to talk about wins.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers game in Houston against the Texans. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.